to the main man of the Channel 7 coverage of the Olympics. By hat, he's been on fire. Dave Colbert joins us on the Breakfast Club. Good morning, DC.
Daniel-san, konnichiwa.
Yeah, konnichiwa to you and the team there at Channel 7. You sound to me, Dave, as you're having a hell of a lot of fun.
Oh, always. You get to bang on about the world's best athletes doing what they love the most. So it's amazing action. You can see how much it means to them all. And my style's always been it's entertainment. And, you know, you provide a bit of information. And if you can give people a bit of a gig along the way, if you can make them talk about something that might be a bit different, if you're just reading results, and it becomes a bit meaningless. So, and that always works well because Bruce loves it, loves all of that. Tamsin's having a good time. And, you know, I was really fortunate in the first week to sit alongside Richard Fox when he was talking about his daughter winning an Olympic gold medal and, you know, not winning one and then winning one. So that was extraordinary.
Can you take me into that for a second, that room? That's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, I must admit. That whole build-up to the C1 after the K1 didn't go to plan. You're sitting next to Richard and he's devastated for her without letting too much out, and then he's absolutely over the moon for her without letting too much out. What was it like being the guy who had to sit next to him through that call of the C1 final?
Well, Daniel, I wasn't. He was in Sydney and I was in Melbourne. So I never actually got to shake his hand, give him a hug, a cuddle, or anything. So it was bizarre.
That's even more impressive, Dave.
That's even better.
What you did.
Yeah. So we're seeing each other. I don't think this is not a secret, but it's not something that we're, you know, openly talking about beforehand, but you've asked the question, so I'm not going to tell you a porky. No, he's in a studio in Sydney. Our Sydney-based commentators for some events couldn't get down, so Candace Warner was in the same situation in the triathlon.
Yep.
You know, she was on debut doing her first Olympic broadcast and not sitting next to her co-commentator. We can see each other on a Zoom screen.
Yep.
So we just worked out a structure for the way the race would go. And away we went. So, you know, he's a great guy. We talk on the phone, you know, a couple of times a day, exchange text messages, talk before the event started, and then away we go. But studio discipline. it just means you don't talk over the top of each other, and you give each other, there's probably a little bit more, you know, free air in the broadcast than you might normally have, a couple of extra seconds here and there to make sure you don't stand over the top of each other. But how good was he?
He's remarkable.
Analyze the race and take us inside, and his calm demeanour was, you know, a perfect fall for the rest of Australia who were in complete panic mode the whole time.
That's exactly right. It was the most stressful 105 seconds I've had for a while watching that last run.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And look, as a commentator at these things, you live and die on you know, how the athletes go, because that basically determines, you know, how much airtime you're on, how often you're on, what the moments are like, and, you know, so you live and die with the athletes, that's for sure. You ride them all the way, and, you know, I think the audience are exactly the same, so we're in the same boat, it's just we've got a microphone in front of us.
All right, Dave, it's 1992, you're participating in the Olympics, and you and someone else both jumped the same distance for the gold medal. And they come up to you and say, do you want to share it or do you want to have a jump off? What are you going to say?
So it wouldn't have applied in my day. So that's the first thing. Second thing is they went through two tie breaks to get to the tie. So the first tie break is the previous height. They both cleared it on their first attempt. The second tie break is to go to total misses. And this almost always works out that you find a winner.
Yep.
In this instance, they hadn't had a miss. You know, and Steve Hooker, when he won in Beijing against Lukanenko, the Russian, they'd had a lot of misses. So it was just a complete fluke that their misses were the same.
So we're talking about the men's high jump here for those playing at home.
Yeah. So in this case, two guys, world-class performance. They've jumped every height up to 237. They haven't had a miss. I actually think that they both deserve the gold medal. If I was in that situation, what would I do? I'd say, let's both be champions, mate, and we'll be together forever. That's what I would do.
Yep, that's good enough for me. Because, I mean, I must confess, I've sort of been oscillating over that as to what the most appropriate thing would be. But even just the way you've explained it, that's good enough for me.
If it was manufactured in any way, and I actually think that they'll change the rules and interpretations in athletics change not that frequently, I have to say. There's a very big rule book, and it's very complex in a whole range of different events, etc. But I think it does open the door for manipulation. But this was not manipulation. They didn't even know the rule. You know, we were scrambling for the rule books in that situation. You're getting ready for a jump off. They're going to go back to the previous height. What happens there? Et cetera, et cetera. But these two guys, you know, Barsham actually had to say, so we both get two gold medals. And, you know, once you're in that situation, but I think if you've had two methods of a tie-break split and you can't do it, like let's use golf as the example. We love a golf playoff, right? But in golf, the example would be most birdies, if you wanted to have a tie-break rather than a playoff. Most birdies, and then the second method would be least number of bogeys. Now, if two players had over 72 holes, the same number of birdies and the least number of bogeys tied together, they probably deserve to share the win.
Yep.
Or it gets too dark and like they did cool them the other year and they just do it anyway.
Yep. So they're the circumstance. They cannot have a jump off for that exact reason. It's, you know, it's too dark, they've been going for too long, or, you know, it's there's a thunderstorm approaching or whatever it might be. So it's a talking point, that's for sure. And that's one of the things I love about... the number of people that have sent me photos of them getting out the tape measure and measuring out the long jump, running down the hallway, or the two, you know, 40 high jump.
I did it.
We've done that.
That's what it's all about.
Exactly. I did it. It was a good call from you to do that in the lounge room. I did that with my daughter. We had fun doing that. And what's up today, Dave? It's been a great campaign for the Aussies. Liz Clay and Riley Day and Rowan Browning and Peter Boyle, the Spag. There's so much good stuff happening in Australian athletics. Stewie McSwain's still got to come. It's going to be fantastic. But what's happening today we can look forward to?
You're right about the team performance. 8 PBs so far, and Riley Day set one last night, and then Richo set her Instagram alight, which was not good. You can't ask for any more, and Rowan Browning was superb. So, you know, you can't ask for any more than any of that. So today, Stewie McSwain goes around in the 1500 heats for the first time with Jai Edwards and Ollie Hoare. Kelsey Lee Barber, our world champion, goes in the javelin qualifying. Benderia Boyer runs the 400 heats this morning, which is good. Later tonight, the men's pole vault final with Curtis Marshall, so that'll be an absolute ripper. And one of my all-time favourites, Brooke Stratton, goes in the long jump final this morning. So Brooke's had a troubled lead-up. She's had knee and leg issues all along. She's, you know, has to have a strict gluten-free diet. Otherwise, you know, everything goes awry. Coached by her dad out in Nutterwadding. She's an absolute ripper. She's done a good job to get to the final. You only need one jump, as we saw from the Greek last yesterday, who won.
Yeah.
She'll battle to be in the top eight, I think, but I hope I'm wrong. But she's done an incredible job even to make her second Olympic final. So we'll be up and about for that, and then we just continue on.
You've been incredible with your work, and the whole Channel 7 coverage has been magnificent. And just to highlight, the Olympics are, in fact, Whitey, the greatest show on earth still.
Yeah, can we have a chat to you when it's all finished? Even coming in the studio, I'd love to have a chat to you about just the whole thing of how we harness the momentum of this.
Yeah.
I know you're very passionate about it, and we'll probably need about 3 weeks, but it'd be great to have a chat to you about that.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and there's some simple solutions and some ones that are a bit harder, but I'm taking notes, so I'll bring in my folder of ideas.
No, that'd be great.
Sounds good to us. Looking forward to seeing you on the box today, live and free, as you keep saying, Dave, on the channels of 7.
Good one, gentlemen.